from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Yeah, baby, here we go. It's hour number one of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a fantastic day. Let's talk sports here over the next 4.5 hours. Rangers pregame's coming up at 6:30. General at your service, Eddie's. Broadus is in Oxnard, California. Okay, he's watching Cowboys practice. He'll have a full batch of takeaways once again as soon as practice concludes. Probably about 3 o'clock. He'll probably join us for that 3 o'clock segment. Krusty's Corner every afternoon, 3:40. Lucius Alexander is in the Pimp Cup over there. Master Control here, 75 and Fitzhugh. Woolchuck and Schiafalo are in the house, and Carter Freeman is coordinating your video. You can watch us at 105thefan.com, Twitch, and YouTube. And, gentlemen, good afternoon to you. How the heck are you?
Man, a lot better than we would have been if it weren't for the greatness of Corey Seager and Josh Smith, baby.
The law office of Seager and Smith getting it done when it matters most.
Yeah, it's legendary, the kind of season that Josh Smith is having. That's a whole lot of fun. And let's go ahead and start there. I don't know if it's taking care of business, escaping by the skin of your teeth, whatever it is, but you get a win, you move within five of Seattle. It's another one-run game, and you just got to take it and love it and hope that catalyst moment is coming soon.
Yes.
It's unbelievable how disappointing this year has been at the plate. You're stoked that Heaney was dialed again. Salute to Heen Dog.
Yeah.
Holy cow. And you love that Corey Seager hitting in that two-hole for the seventh straight game, as I've been trying to tell you guys. Hit the game-tying bomb in the eighth.
You crushed it. I mean, you were really plugged in on that move. I know that was something you had actually been asking about.
That's right.
You were like you're putting Josh Smith to lead off here.
Yeah.
You went full. I mean, after you were kind of critical of Smitty, you are now probably his biggest fan. You were calling for him to lead off 2 months ago. Finally, they've made that move. And last night comes up in a big way with the bullpen. And we're going to talk with Andrew Chafin a little bit later.
Hashtag the bullpen is on fire.
He walked one. I'm thinking, can you find the strike zone here? Buddy.
Hey, that's a guy who can work out of the jam.
Let's go. And he sure did. Got
He'll
some swing
some
misses. He did.
Yeah.
Robertson did allow a run, but got a couple of big outs there. And then Kirby Yates doing what Kirby Yates does with four Ks to help the Rangers do this. So the bullpen came up in a big way. But yeah, Seager, I mean, it felt like a postseason game watching that. I felt like I was teleported back to the 2023 postseason watching this game, and that magic was alive.
I thought you were teleporting back to the moment that Broadus forced you out of the building before Seager got to have his moment like that. I thought you were about to drag yourself back through those moments.
I was channeling the parking lot.
I'm sorry about that.
I was, yeah. Like, as soon as hand touches door, woo, eruption, what just happened? Seager tied it, can we go back in? No, get your ass in the car. Damn it, Brian.
Oh, Broadus, what a bleep hole.
Well, I'm going to continue to believe that this team isn't done, and it's not just because the division is bad. I just think there's a lot of potential in here. And tonight with Tyler Mahle coming back on the heels of maybe Jared Sandler's best home run call ever.
Hold on. I see your finger up in there. You gotta relax. You gotta chill, bro.
That finger was about to drop.
I just got done wiping stuff off. All right, give me a second.
Mariners host. What do you got, Lucius?
I'm just getting the computer warmed up. I'm getting familiar with each other.
Yes, sir.
I have it for you in just a second here.
Right on. I know. I appreciate it, buddy. I could also tell you Mariners host the Tigers tonight with Castillo against Montero. They were off last night. So the gap now and even five games. The Rangers player show coming up at 3:20. We will have Andrew Chafin with us, and maybe we'll get his thoughts on witnessing his first heroic home run there from Josh Smith.
Garcia at second, 3-2 Astros, bottom 10, the 3-1. Smith swings, hits a high drive to right. That ball's back. It is out of here.
Ooh, even a little growl.
Good night. Josh Smith, a walk-off homer. And the Rangers beat the Astros 4-3.
Shoot, yeah, boy. Nice job by Sands there on the call. He'll join us tonight coming up at 6 o'clock.
He crushed it.
A call this good from Sands?
No, I think that's his best one. I mean, yeah. I have been able, doing pre and post and having him call a lot of these games, I've been able to have a front row seat to these. But yeah. I think that he just had call number one on the Mount Rushmore for Sandler calls right there. That was beautiful. And it means a lot. I mean, you know he hates Houston. And this game meant a lot. So a lot of the emotion and passion, some of the fan inside him, I think, poured out there in that call.
Absolutely. Yeah, his hatred for Houston is legendary. Okay, Broadus is watching practice. What's been developing today, Zach? I saw you tweeting about Amari Cooper on the Niners.
Okay, well, I'm seeing something in the last 2 minutes here.
Okay, please,
from Adam Schefter.
Yes.
Yesterday, we talked about the Steelers. Everybody was getting ball-sacked about the Steelers about to acquire Ayuk. Well, now Adam Schefter is tweeting out that the Steelers and the Niners have re-engaged in conversations as of early today in regards to Brandon Ayuk. As of Monday night, talks had stalled, but there have been further conversations today in an ever-fluid situation that still involves other teams as well.
Yeah.
So I guess the Steelers are definitely now back into the ring with a couple other teams, Browns, Patriots.
Yeah, so the Patriots and the Browns, according to Pelissero and Ian Rappaport, I've been following what they've been saying, as well as Shefty, they have parameters on a deal for Ayuk. I guess the 49ers are just figuring out what's the best one for them and if they want to do it. Now, I did see, I think it was Spotrac was putting out, if Cleveland does this and it is Amari Cooper who they're sending back to San Francisco to acquire Brandon Ayuk, and maybe there's some more that goes on in that deal. But just a couple weeks ago, they flipped that switch on Amari Cooper's contract to basically make his salary fully guaranteed. That's going to be a very expensive trade for Cleveland, because they're probably still on the hook for a lot of that money. It's a big win for San Francisco, but on top of that, you're now having to extend Brandon Ayuk and give him a new deal. So Cleveland, I mean, look, they kind of screwed the NFL with the Deshaun Watson deal, so they're used to shelling out bad contracts, not doing things well financially, but this would be interesting for them. New England, I don't know. Is it Brandon Bourne Kendrick Bourne who wasn't at practice today? Is he the guy that ends up going back, plus a Judon maybe gets mixed in there?
There you go. I think a Judon one makes sense. I saw him leaving practice a little early, and they were wondering, okay, are they getting him off the field because he's in trade discussions now? Because if you're the Niners, you have Bosa, obviously, on the edge, but opposite him it's Leonard Floyd, who's decent to solid, but the depth there from a pass rusher standpoint, I think, for the Niners is starting to wane a little bit. So if you could get, and you just drafted Ricky Pearsall if you're the Niners, so you have the Ayuk replacement.
Yes.
And Kyle Shanahan's always going to make an offense work here for the most part. So if I was the Niners, I'd be interested in getting Matthew Judon, who's still a premium pass rusher in the sport, and adding it to that defense.
Yeah, because Pittsburgh does not really have a receiver to kick into this. Maybe that's why Pittsburgh's not as far along, but for whatever reason, it seems like the early reports are a wide receiver is something that the 49ers want in return. We'll see. Amari Cooper's the latest to be rumored if a deal is done with the Browns.
Well, that would be a terrific trade for them if they could, you know, get rid of a bunch of salary cap hit and, you know, move Ayuk for Amari Cooper, a downgrade, but maybe only so slightly. And I just think it's remarkable that how many of the recent Super Bowl champions have made trades for multiple players at the top of their roster that have impacted their ability to win. The Rams, the Buccaneers, the 49ers, maybe the Chiefs are a little bit of an exception to that because of the way that they team build and that they have Patrick Mahomes, the ultimate trump card. They can let players go. But even they've made some trades. The Cowboys just haven't done enough of that. But I think it's a genius way of managing your cap if right as a guy is – you know, coming up to free agency, instead of dragging it out and franchise tagging him, saying, you know what, we're in a bad cap spot to pay this guy as much as we like him. Let's move on, get a player back that can help us solve our needs, maybe a draft asset, and, you know, relieve a little bit of the pressure. I think the Niners are, you know, working circles around most NFL teams out there. And I hope somebody over there at the Cowboys front office can turn that light bulb on for the Jones boys and whoever else it needs to come on for. We got to get very creative and aggressive in team building if you want the kind of roster that doesn't have holes when you get to January. You just can't rely on drafting. I don't know if there's any team that's making it to the top the way that, you know, the Indianapolis Colts did. But even, you know, they didn't win as many Super Bowls with Peyton Manning. And they had Peyton Manning. You know, that's that was the peak of the draft and develop system in the NFL for like 12, 15 years. And ultimately, you spoiled opportunity after opportunity to win with Peyton Manning.
Yeah, yeah. You look at the Cowboys and you open it up and you're like, man, I like what you got with some of these things. But we need to sort of diversify our portfolio as it regards to player acquisition. You got it pretty dialed in regards to the draft thing. But even when you're super dialed, you're going to have a couple of drafts like last draft where you're not sure you have anybody you can really depend on at this point. And that's just the nature of the beast when it comes to drafting. How do you supplement those inevitable misfires in the draft? Here's a shrewd trade or whatever at the deadline or in the offseason. Not shying away at any moment. Those are the teams that are all in and they understand, hey, there's going to be some flaws in the drafting game. We have to be able to, we can't just like turn off the faucet over here and be like, no, we're going to be fine. We don't need what we could get over here. And when they executed it with Brandon Cooks and Stephon Gilmore, what did you give up? Very little. And what did you get in return? A ton. A season-long starting corner that worked out for you in a big way for the most part. And Gilmore, and then Brandon Cooks, who really came on strong, and that was your wide receiver two, and is now wide receiver two in a stronghold position going into this next season. So, and they found ways to their credit to like have the Texans pay more of the Brandon Cooks deal. Like they can still win in these trades too.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the absolute best teams move on from a guy when his value is at a peak, you know, and they know maybe the market's overvaluing him a little bit. I mean, Bill Walsh in San Francisco was great at that. Tom Landry was great at that. Jimmy Johnson was great at, you know, not necessarily marrying the guys you know, you're not absolutely sold on as core pieces and championship difference makers. What the Cowboys do, on the other hand, is when you are drafted, you are co-branded with the organization, and your jersey sales and your TV like persona, all of that goes more into their consideration of whether they want to keep you or not. And if they've drafted you and made you into a star that the fans love and pay money and put money in their pockets for, they're absolutely not moving on from you. And that, I think, is the biggest issue that I have is, you know, how much they've married the money-making operation with trying to win the Super Bowl, because I don't think you can be focused on both those things simultaneously as a main decision maker. Mike McCarthy had a great quote about Diggs today returning to practice. We're excited as he is. He looks great. He's so damn competitive. I think Trayvon's clearly one of the most competitive players, practice players, game day players that I've ever been around. When he crosses the white lines and it's time to compete, he's all in. I think we see that more than ever with him at practice and how he's talking with Dak. And that gives us more of a window into his personality than we usually see. He is very reserved. Maybe quiet is what you would say about, you know, Diggs in the media and when you get a chance to observe him. But apparently it's a 180 when he steps between those lines and the dog comes out.
Yeah, he's we saw it last year. It went viral when he basically called Dak the B word. It's like, oh my gosh, you got players they don't like the quarterback. How disrespect? No, that's just Trayvon. Much like when Dez Bryant was here, he's going to light a fire. He's going to raise the energy level at practice because of that competition, because of some of the swagger that he brings to it. I think the secondary missed that at times last year. It's great to see him back out there.
But this is huge. I think that he's close to 100%.
Yeah.
this is one of those positions on defense that if you get a positive conclusion to how this story goes, maybe you could have a great defense. You're going to need Linval Joseph, and you're going to need these young linebackers to be really good and Kendricks to stave off Father Time a little bit.
Yes.
But you're close.
Yeah.
You know, Diggs, defensive tackle, linebackers, great defense.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm like, you have the three question marks, and like I was talking to somebody and I put it as like Mozzie Smith, but if you're just out on the idea of Mozzie, then like somebody there filling the position of being a bona fide space eater on first and second down in the middle of the defensive line. Maybe it's Mozzie, maybe it's somebody else. But then to me, it's overshown at the linebacker spot. If he ends up being the guy that we saw flashes of last year, holy smokes, the type of second level defender you now have in him. And then you get to the third level and it's what type of Diggs do you get? How quickly is Diggs back to being himself? And now all of a sudden you're talking about some bona fide top five defense.
Yeah, because you're set at corner. I mean, it's going to, and again, I mean, I know Brian mentioned this yesterday, but it's really been the key. Like, you don't want to have to throw against the Cowboys. That's when the pass rush can really get after you. Now we'll see how the blitzing, I think, is going to be different under Zimmer, but the secondary is so damn talented. And now with the linebacking group, maybe that is enough to mask a deficiency at defensive tackle, because Damone Clark looks like a different player too. Maybe you do just have such an upgrade over linebacker they can clean up some of that mess in the run.
That would be awesome. Yes, I'm cynical about this football team. I'll admit to that. Maybe I've been too negative at times, and I apologize, but that's just my frustration.
Yeah, I mean, we're all there right now. And I will say, after going to camp, I do have that little bit of like, what am I doing here? I feel that optimism coming back. I'm starting to see like, okay, maybe it wasn't as bad. Starting to believe it again. And I'm like, I can't let my emotions get in the way here, but
There's a path. Things change in the NFL.
Yeah, no, things change quickly, for sure. And I think that the door is a little bit more open than I thought it was when I got to Oxnard.
Yeah, for sure. Overshown's, you know, performance, his athleticism, his awareness of where to be, I think, was the first thing. And then you add to that Guyton at left tackle showing signs. I'm like, okay, maybe they could run the ball. Maybe they could play better defense than last year. We'll have to see if one of these runners can actually step up. We might be looking at 3.6 yards per attempt, though, on the other hand. Okay, Charles Barkley announced he's not retiring even if TNT does lose the NBA. They're in a legal challenge, plans to work the other shows that TNT Sports has, probably some NBA TV as well. There for the Chuckster. USA and Brazil starting at 2:30. Olympic basketball action for you. Should be a solid blowout win for the Yanks. USA women's soccer got the extra time tally from Sophia Smith in the semifinal match. They beat Germany 1-0, and it's on to the final for them there in the Olympics once again. So congrats. Okay, G-Bag of the Day coming up at 2:30. Little college football segment coming up next, Chief. Wolchuk, what do you got?
Yeah, we got our first coach's poll. What the heck's Pit Bowl doing? And who's the biggest college football underachiever? That's next.
Shoot, yeah, welcome back, Nation. Segment's brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. Franklin Frankel, the go-to attorneys for car and truck wrecks in DFW. If you or a loved one's been in an accident, contact the Frankels for your free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Go to frankelfirm.com. It's also brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org, and it's brought to you by Soda. Now, here's Wolchuk.
877-881-1053. Who's been the most disappointing team or teams in college football since the playoff really started? And ESPN came out with their list yesterday. We also got the coaches poll that was released for the first top 25 poll, which I still think is a little bit weird that we do this before we've seen these guys play any games. But I guess it makes a difference for week one. Hey, we've got the second ranked team in the country playing the 10th ranked team in the country. You know, it just means a little bit more because they've got the number next to their school name, right? So the rankings, even though these are probably going to change massively over the course of the season, they're out. Georgia, number one, got 46 of the 50 votes to be the top team in the country. Ohio State, number two. Oregon, the Ducks at three. Texas at number four, the Horns in their first year in the SEC.
Phil Knight's trying to buy him a championship.
And he's doing a good job. Oregon's got a chance to maybe win the Big Ten in year one. Texas at four. Alabama comes in at number five. The top ten, the rest of it, six Ole Miss, seven Notre Dame, eight your defending champion Michigan Wolverines, Penn State at nine, and the Noles of Florida State coming in at number 10. If you're looking for another Texas team, well, Texas A&M is at number 20, Oklahoma State at 18, and Carter Freeman's Oklahoma Sooners coming in at 16. Brian Broaddus' LSU Tigers, go Tigers, at number 12. But speaking of a Texas school, The top Texas school that has been the biggest underachiever so far is indeed your Texas A&M Aggies.
Ooh, ouch.
I think that's going to be a hard one to argue, right?
Yeah. The Johnny years were so glorious, though.
They were. They were fun. But, I mean, A&M, what's their biggest claim to fame, I guess, over the last 10 years since Johnny? They knocked off Alabama in the regular season?
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah. I mean, what would it be? I guess if we were doing this time last year, we'd be saying
Texas and A&M.
Like, yeah, Texas the only thing they have.
Yeah, because
they just got in there.
Right.
So, because otherwise, Texas has to be, I mean, where are they, where do they rank amongst everybody here? Are they even, or are you just, are they not
even,
they're not even listed because they've made the playoff? I guess if you've made one appearance in the playoff, then you don't qualify as a team that's been disappointing.
Yeah, I mean, all the teams that they've got as their underachievers have not.
Hey, put some respect on the Texas A&M Yale leaders, though. They go viral for the squad. You know what I mean?
Damn true.
They're the one paying the bills around that right now.
Yeah, it's a good point, man.
They're giving us great fall content, and we appreciate them for that.
They're putting their self-respect and dignity aside for the betterment of the campus.
Yeah. They are. They are. Like Penn State, Nittany Lions, right? They're a team that's in the top 10 every year, it seems like, and James Franklin, good coach, but they just can't beat Michigan. They can't beat Ohio State. So they're an underachiever. They're not making the playoff.
Yeah, for me, Florida's pretty significant underachiever. I go farther back than that, though, to the times of Nebraska.
Nebraska's on here.
And Miami.
And Miami's on here.
Yeah, they both have to be.
What Miami did last year, I don't know how you didn't fire Mario Cristobal.
Well, it's because you just handed him like a huge monster contract. You have no way if you're the University of Miami, who I don't think brings in the same type of money as a lot of these other programs. You're not just punting on him now because that was, I believe, his second season. Mario Cristobal is good for completely like being the reason why his team loses at least one, if not two games every year. And when you're living in a world where the goal is to basically run the table and go win a title, it's just, he's never been that guy. He's a great recruiter. Can't manage a game to save his life.
No, he was brutal at Oregon too. I think, you know, you look at, speaking of Oregon, Oregon State and Washington State. I mean, their entire conference left them, and they got a Pac-2 now.
That's great.
They were so crappy, nobody wanted them.
They were.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you're looking here at what Miami, the last time they won a conference title, 2003.
Yeah, this was still Big East.
Big East.
Yeah, they haven't won since they've been in the ACC.
It's been brutal for them. USC is on here. I mean, USC's last conference championship, 2017, they won the Pac-12. Haven't won a natty since 04. I mentioned A&M. You said Nebraska. Nebraska won the Big 12 in 99. They have not been good since joining the Big 10. Arkansas is another school that's listed here. Now, I know we got a lot of Razorback fans here locally, but man, I kind of think the expectation level for Arkansas football a little bit too high.
Yeah, they don't have the population. They're sandwiched. They're surrounded by like powerhouse programs. They've never, you know, at least in a long time, been able to get the kind of momentum that would be able to be sustained. I think, you know, what you're looking for there is a transcendent coach and a great pipeline of cash. You know, you need to look to those Jones boys to prop you up a little bit more.
Give you some more money.
Whoever else it is. The Walmart guys, maybe? I don't know.
Well, speaking of cash, yeah, Walmart,
the
they've got the Walton.
They got the Tyson's.
I mean, honestly, they might end up being a basketball powerhouse here now with Calipari. That dude knows how to end up taking the NIL money and making it a benefit to him. But I'm surprised, actually, now that you say all this money that they've got to possibly bank in there, they could become a powerhouse if they really wanted
Absolutely.
To.
Anybody could.
Pitbull has bought the naming rights to FIU's football stadium in a $6 million contract. So this is according to Pete Thamel, ESPN.
Wait, so the music, is he a rapper? I don't even know exactly what you call him as an artist, but the music artist Pitbull?
He started off as a rapper, that's for sure.
He did? Okay.
Yeah.
So
now he's Mr. 305 worldwide.
That's right. 305. He is freaking worldwide. So he personally is buying the naming rights so that he's promoted every time FIU takes the field.
Every time it's going to be Pitbull Stadium. Ladies and gentlemen, FIU here at Pitbull Stadium. Thanks to our guy, Pitbull, who's given us $1.2 million annually.
They're going to have to specify, because I'm going to think about the Terriers first.
Yeah.
Yeah. Think about the mascot or something like that. I'm going to be confused.
Yeah. Are you guys the FIU Pitbulls?
Yeah, they're the, what are they, the Golden Eagles or something?
They're the Panthers.
Oh, they're the Panthers?
Yep.
It is interesting that the Panthers play at Pitbull Stadium. It's weird.
It's weird.
But it's innately South Florida. I mean, Pitbull is, he's good iconic
call.
Down there.
Good call. Yeah.
So this makes sense, at least in that community.
Like, what city is that in?
FIU. National. Where is that?
Cali Ocho.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good question.
It's Dayton, Florida.
I'm not even going to send any guesses out because I really don't know what.
Oh, it's in Miami.
It is in Miami.
Oh, okay. Wow. Okay. So, man, I wonder if the Hurricanes are a little ticked off.
The stadium's kind of beautiful, too.
I mean,
I bet it's gorgeous.
The Hurricanes play in Hard Rock Stadium, so they don't even really own their own stadium.
Yeah.
They play in the Dolphin Stadium.
What the hell? You confront us for a stadium?
It looks like his Voli 305 vodka is going to be sold at games as well as part of the deal.
Nice.
So, he also gets two suites for up to 40 people. I guess for every game, use of the venue for 10 days out of the year.
Ooh.
And the title official entrepreneur of FIU athletics.
Man,
I think he's getting ripped off. I think two suites are really only good for about 4 to 6 people. But if you want to stretch it to 20, that's on you, Pitbull.
So 40 in each suite?
I think probably 20 in each suite. Okay. But yeah, it's going to get a little bit balmy in there.
Time now to head into the Pimp Cup for Lucius.
Look at that. Shout out to Pitbull, man.
Look at this, look at that.
Oh, look at this, look at that.
All right, let's see. This is day two right here for my man. This is an MMA fight. This is the post-fight interview. And I don't know this guy's name. They're going to say his name, but he totally crashed out. His emotions were up and down and all around. Listen to this.
Kind of surprised about the hook flip that happened. You ended up on bottom, but you were able to reverse it.
That happens to me all the time. I'm used to this. I train with Ray Borg. He's a flyweight mother. I'm heartbroken. Time out. The only reason I got into this sport was because these stupid girls want to keep breaking my heart. And my grandma died. So yeah, I'm a little heated. So off.
Jeez, bro.
Well, it was very impressive there. Ayin, we look forward to seeing you again. Your winner, Ayin Barella.
Ayin, what's his name, Wilchuk?
Barella.
Barella?
Ayin.
We got to look that guy up, bro.
Yeah, that's a wild beast.
That man's
right
all
there.
Over the place.
Somebody texted in yesterday, and now listening to it again, it does remind me of the horse guy. From the band.
Oh, yes.
Screaming. Oh, yeah.
There's three types of people in this world.
Yeah. It was a line on each side.
Yeah. You're either the horse, the man owns the horse,
or the man is da-da-da-da.
Your boss was tripping, bro. Yeah, we got him lined up on both sides. I need you to use both hands.
What? Just make it happen, dude. You got this.
I need to use both hands.
Nobody knows. Think of it like you're going skiing, son.
I'm going to weigh some, bro.
This channel your 16-year-old self.
Imagine
you're
in the Rockies right now.
All right, let's see here. Let's go to the Phillies versus the Trolley Dodgers. Phillies radio booth. What's going on in there?
And that one is in for a strike. It's 3-1.
Well, just as Bryce went with his pants up, I'm not sure I've seen Garrett with his pants down. That didn't sound right, did it?
Jeez. It sure did not. Here's the 3-1.
Mess. Oh, you know, sometimes things happen up here.
Sometimes things happen up here.
Yeah. The Trolley Dodgers, huh? That's
is
that how they got their name?
The Trolley Dodgers. Yeah. The Brooklyn Trolley Dodgers.
That's pretty cool.
Let's see here. What else we got for you, boys? Hey!
Oh, the vibes on a Tuesday!
Oh, we got Team USA basketball versus
we
Brazil
sure do.
Right now. Quarterfinal, baby.
We
Let's
sure
go.
Do. Yeah, and we have the high jump. Don't sleep on high jumps, bro. I like the high jump. No, and the wrestling. They're wrestling, too.
Got a little wrestling going?
Yeah, I got the little multi-view.
Oh, look at that. Nice. The multi-view is the way to go.
But Peacock is going crazy. Hey, shout out to Peacock for this Olympic
It's
app.
Changed the game.
They have dominated
the Olympics.
They have
been
dominated.
Brilliant.
Yeah, Peacock, you're doing a damn thing. Let's see what else we got right here. Oh, speaking of Olympics, how about this tennis umpire? Instead of yelling at a little tennis player, he decided to do some little beatboxing during the downtime.
10, 1, 2, 1, 2.
Oh, yeah. Get the glow sticks out.
Yeah. I got some good Molly, too, bro.
idea how they do that, man. That's like three or four noises at once. You got multiple instruments happening.
No, that's really wild. That's really wild.
They're geniuses.
Those are the real throat goats.
Jeez.
Oh, my God.
Step aside, Nancy.
Oh, hey, dude, you on that radio show with those guys talking about throat goats and everything, man?
Yep.
I like those the radio show, man. You guys are wild, bro.
You got scared over the the restrooms.
Oh, yeah, I was thinking about that. That I'm glad that little audio's done.
Yeah, me too.
I've been trying to kill that since it started.
Is the wifey cut on?
No, we just zip on by.
That's
baby.
What I was worried about.
Me too, dude.
Yeah.
We hated you last week. I had his back. Dawson's the only one that can read a damn room.
I was like, man, if she Googles Nancy.
I'm straight drowning over
here. It's going to be problems at the Chiapas.
No, it's a one. I swear it's a different Nancy.
Yeah.
It's not her. It's a joke, honey.
Yeah, it's a radio band. I promise you. I promise you. I swear, I'm on my knees.
I was going to blame AI. I had all this stuff ready to go. Like, no, I got AI.
You put a list together.
It's AI me, honey.
It was all Sean's fault. It was Sue Sean.
You're getting balls out there, honey.
Well, I was thinking about that, bro. I was like, if she Googles up Nancy, she's going to be mad at you regardless of what's happening.
Yeah, that's bad.
Just off the strength of Nancy. Uh-huh. I get it. All right, let's see here. Josh Smith's walk-off home run.
Oh, yes.
Big Jerry Sandler on the call. Yeah. Big Jerry Sandler, baby.
Seager hit a game-tying home run in the bottom of the eighth last time up. Garcia at second. 3-2 Astros. Bottom 10. The 3-1. Smith swings. It's a high drive to right. That ball's back.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking? I'm James Coe. Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is out of here! Good night! Josh Smith, the walk-off homer! And the Rangers beat the Astros 4-3.
Josh Smith just provided some serious damage.
He sure did, man. And I can't believe it. You know, this year, out of all the unbelievable things we've witnessed with the disappointment of the lineup, I mean, what kind of an alternate universe are we in here where Josh Smith is the hero? And Adolis Garcia is, you know, doing his best Rougned Odor impression.
It's the way baseball go.
It is crazy.
Yeah, that's the way baseball goes.
I mean, every time Josh is a hero or does something amazing, I'm like, okay, this is it, right? This is the end of it? Or this is not going
to
happen again?
No. Nope. This is here to stay.
No, but hey, but you've been putting him in that leadoff spot for weeks now.
That's right.
You've been putting in the call.
I think ride the hot hand.
When we were in Oxnard, we were like, man, I'd put him in the zero hole if I could. But
yeah. Negatives.
And, you know, flip Seager and Semien as well. You know, yeah. I thought you do those couple of things, you give yourself a chance. Hey, they're still not exploding, but maybe it's the chemistry is coming together just a little bit better. Anything else, Lucius, before we vote?
No, that's it.
Okay, if you haven't heard, we've moved Krusty's corner from 240 to 340. Brian is watching Cowboys practice right now. He's going to join us in about 20 minutes or so with the latest takeaways. Is it the post-fight mental health breakdown? I think that's what that is. I mean,
yeah.
I saw a guy here at 75 and Fitzhugh on my way in. He was punching one of those electric boxes by the gas station. I think he was in a similar state.
Yeah, that was a breakdown. Then he picked it up and broke it back down again.
Yeah. Philly versus the Trolley Dodgers. Tennis umpire doing a beatboxing during the downtime, or is it Sands, the mofo and man with the call of the walk-off?
The comments about that umpire, people said, stop making it about you.
Chief?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Jared for sure.
Okay, Lucius?
Yeah, I'm going to ride with Jared. I like that, big dog.
Bully?
Yeah, Jared was fantastic. I'll throw a vote to the beatboxer guy. That was very talented.
Yeah.
By a score of 3-1. And your new G-Bag.
And the crowd was just sitting there watching instead of like getting up and dancing or something. Unreal. The crowd just don't respect good talent anymore.
Yeah, that was amazing.
Oh. Dang French. Don't recognize musical genius.
Yeah, make a noise with his mouth.
I hate when goats get disrespected like that.
What do we have in Olympic gold today, buddy?
Oh, we have a DFW kid setting a world record. Hello. We got Noah Lyles talking that talk. And Serena gets another notch on her belt next year in the nation.
All righty. It's time for some Olympic gold. We just crowned a new gold medalist here for the USA as we hand off the broadcast baton to Eric Chiafalo with Gabby Thomas celebrating in the background.
Let's go, Gabby!
Austin, Texas.
Yeah. Texas. Nice. Yeah. We got a local legend that set a record that we will get to momentarily.
Set a record? World record?
Yeah, world record.
Like, Shannon, we tapping in pockets again?
Oh, yeah.
Because I've been keeping up with them pockets. We did get one.
Okay. We got a world record, dude. Okay. And this guy is right here in our backyard. I'm going to give you that in just a second. But USA is up 27-14 right now in the quarterfinal. Team USA basketball. So I did hear for the French team, Rudy Gobert got benched. And apparently Anthony Edwards has just been sticking to Kevin Durant like glue. Like Brian Windhorst is like, Anthony Edwards is just like, wherever Kevin Durant is, that's where Anthony Edwards is, just picking his brain, doing all that stuff. So there's like a little bromance brewing right there between Anthony Edwards and Kevin Durant. But Team USA up big and early right now in quarter number one versus Brazil in the quarterfinal. Walchuk, who had the famous quote, "I got worms"?
I got worms?
I got worms.
Oh, man. I don't know.
This would be Lloyd Christmas.
JFK Jr.
It's
RFK Jr.
Lloyd Christmas. I should have had that off the cuff.
I didn't even prep you in the commercial breaks. I just assumed you were going to know that.
I know. I'm sorry. I need to add that back to the repertoire. I haven't watched that in a long time.
Unfortunately, the athletes in Paris are also saying that same quote. I got worms.
No.
I like my fish and people are finding worms in the fish. Oh. It's just not good enough. End quote from one of the athletes in Paris right now who is a British swimmer. This dude has been around the block. He's been in a handful of Olympics. He's like the food in Rio, much better. Tokyo, much better. But right now, there's not enough protein options. And when I'm getting my fish, I'm finding worms in it. So that's just like another food update from the village. Listen, that just seems to be awful.
You know what the deal is? If you don't love the sport, don't come. You know, we have executives and we have business partners that need to make hundreds of millions of dollars off these Olympics. Okay, true. So if that means you eating fish with worms in it, okay, you're just going to have to deal with it. Unless you want to give up your chance at a gold medal. You know, I thought you wanted to come here and win a gold medal, represent your country.
Damn right. Apparently not. Oh, no. I would just assume that French...
They're rich in protein. Like unappreciative bastards.
France would have good food. I would think that the French are good when it comes to cuisine.
And why would you think that?
Because of, I mean, I think they have a bunch of, like, Michelin stars. I think that comes from France.
Really?
Yeah, okay. I think it originated in France.
Yeah, because I don't even know what French food necessarily is. Apparently, French fries aren't even French. I mean, what do we even know? Listen, the IOC has dozens and dozens of millionaires trying to become billionaires. Don't you have any compassion for them? Seriously, man. Yeah, all great points by you, Dawson. Thank you. Well said. We have an
So it's looking kind of shaky on the French, right? A little bit.
Yeah.
They didn't let the track runners in the other day.
Yeah.
They're
screwing.
They're botching this thing. Okay. All right. Just making sure.
And this person did not swim in the Pooh River, or did they?
This is not like a triathlete.
They get worms from the Pooh River.
No. They're finding worms in their fish that they're just trying to eat and enjoy.
I think I'd rather have worms in my fish than intestinal worms, though, to your point. Though. Yeah. Like, if that's how I'm getting worms, that would be disgusting.
No, ratatouille, that's a French dish. Crepes.
Ratatouille's a French dish.
Delicious. Steak tartare, quiches.
Quiches, okay, yeah. I mean, so far, you haven't said a single thing.
Yeah, nothing is one. Yeah.
When do we get to the good stuff, Chuck? Here's the good stuff. We do have an update from, remember the SMU swimmer from Paraguay who was allegedly kicked out of the village for drama and dipping off to Disney? She says she wants to make it clear that she was never removed or expelled from anywhere. We need to stop spreading false information. That, of course, on her Instagram stories.
Oh, no.
So maybe she just went home. Maybe she had worms in her fish. She was like, you know what? I can't do this anymore. And she just made the adult decision to go home. And
really?
And then maybe they spun it. I don't know. But she's pushing back, and I just wanted to give her side of the story. We also have an update on the giant pole vaulter man. He did get the Cam Soda $250K offer for 60 minutes on the stream.
Perfect.
Okay. So the offers are starting to come in here a little bit.
$250,000?
For 60 minutes. 60 minutes worth of, I guess, just like, I think it was like a solo, just hanging out with you and your pole.
Sounds a little awkward.
Oh, this isn't on camera?
No, it's a stream. It's a stream deal. Cam Soda.
People can just pop in.
I think Wolchuk's more familiar with that than I am. But
no, that's a Brian thing.
We also need to get to the man of the hour. And I'm not talking about Noah Lyles, who does have some good trash talk that we'll get to. But this is South Lake's own 18-year-old, real-life Peter Parker, Spider-Man. This guy
is badass.
Okay, you saw this?
I did.
I didn't even realize this was a thing. Speed climbing?
I didn't know either. But
dude,
I mean, it makes sense.
Nice.
I mean, it's hard. It's a very challenging thing to do. But how fast this guy did it was unbelievable.
This is a human spider. This is another guy that that Uncle Shannon Sharp is going to have to be paying here. Sam Watson. He's 18 years old from South Lake. Listen to this. I don't know what's more impressive, him moving at this rate of speed where he sets a record climbing this wall in under 5 seconds, or the broadcaster who's giving you play by play like one of these auctioneer kind of guys.
Superstar it was from Sam Watson. Zach Hammer's already made a seven. Sam Watson is going to advance here with a time of 4.75.
That did it, though.
Wow. Record has gone. Le Bourget erupts for this 18-year-old from South Lake, Texas. My word, elementary, my dear Watson. 4.75 seconds. He's got the world record back.
What a great call from a British dude. Now, how high did he climb in that amount of time?
That is, what is the height of that? Let me see what the height is here. It is the speed climbing. I mean, it's, I honestly don't even have it in front of me exactly how tall that is.
Efforting. Sounded like about 40 feet or so. It's 49 feet.
49 feet.
In 5 seconds?
4.75, dude.
Not even impressed.
So you're basically jumping.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, to watch this guy,
to watch this guy do it is
really awesome. I mean, he looks like he's got some spider in his DNA.
He does.
Like, he absolutely does. When he gets moving,
burglar.
It's like, yeah, like this guy must be parkouring his ass off.
Man, yeah, he might end up being recruited, start robbing some banks or something, this guy.
He's the real deal.
Hey, we need you to scale a building for us, okay? Can you come on in here? We'll cut you some percentage.
Like, who gets in on speed climbing? I've never met a local kid. Like, this kid's from South Lake. Like, where are we doing speed climbing around here?
I mean, they do have, like, you know.
So those little ninja gyms they have.
Yeah.
I want to get my kids involved in that, dude.
Wall climbing? Yeah, it's incredible. Now, we also had in Mansfield the first American woman to ever win an Olympic medal in women's triple jump, Jasmine Moore, 2024, got a bronze. So shout out to her,
nice.
Mansfield zone, Jasmine Moore. DFW keeps down.
Mansfield?
Mansfield.
Oh, I thought it was Grand Prairie.
Was she from Grand Prairie?
Jasmine Moore? That's what I'm being tagged.
I know she graduated
from Lake Ridge.
Okay. Mansfield Lake Ridge.
Oh, yeah, that's Grand Prairie.
But she might live in, yeah, absolutely. That's there you go.
All right, here is Noah Lyles being asked about his confidence going into the 200-meter sprint. Take it away, Noah Lyles.
Pretty confident. I can't lie. You know, Kenny definitely put up a fast time at trials, and that definitely woke me up. And I was very proud of him. And, you know, he's definitely not going to take, you know, how he did here in the 100 lying down. He's going to say, you know, I'm going after it in the 200 because he knows he, you know, he can go after it. But my job is to make sure that I'll just leave it there. I'll be winning.
I'll be winning.
I'll be winning.
He's back.
That man ain't winning. None of them is winning. When I come off the turn, they will be depressed.
A lot of haters.
I love that from Noah Lyles. Why would you? You're the world's fastest man. Why wouldn't you have that type of confidence right there in yourself, feeling fantastic? And finally, in Paris, we have another notch on the belt of Serena Williams. She has been community noted.
Oh, what happened?
She goes, yikes, and she tagged, a restaurant in Paris, and she said she had been denied access to rooftop to eat in an empty restaurant, and she was with her kids, and she tweeted about it, and she tagged Olympics 2024, and then I guess the community note said Serena was not denied access, rather the restaurant was fully booked. So just maybe a simple misunderstanding right there. But hey, when you get a chance to be community noted, I mean, the laundry list of accolades that she has, very few individuals. You see a lot of like entities getting noted. When you see somebody step into those noted waters, pretty dang cool. I don't think I've seen it before. We're just one individual is like, hey, you're getting noted on that one. But
I don't even know how to do it. I don't know how to note somebody.
I don't know if they get tagged enough. And I've seen Elon.
What just happened? Did she have the wrong restaurant? What happened?
The Peninsula in Paris, she took a picture of the sign and then tagged them and called them out for denying her access to the restaurant that she alleges is empty. And then she tagged Olympic 2024. It went viral. And then I guess that woke up the community notes folks to be like, all right, let me check in on this. And they said that she was not denied access. Rather, the restaurant was fully booked. So now there is the community note to the Serena tweet, but I don't know.
So we got community, like researchers. They do. They call the place and everything now and see what was really popping.
They're serious about it, man.
We're growing.
Yeah. Could be fibbing out there.
It's happening.
Man, you'd love the food in Paris, apparently. There's no preservatives. It's all natural or pesticides.
Okay. No pesticides on there?
No pesticides.
That's great news.
I have a feeling Rangers reliever Andrew Chafin wouldn't be a big fan of that kind of cuisine, but we'll ask him. Coming up at 3:20, Rangers players show up next. NFL News of the Day, we'll check.
Yeah, we got these IU trade rumors. We'll get back to that. They're heating up right now. Can't fight. Step charts in a classic Michael Vick story. That's next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hey, fantasy football owners. The road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.